Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
If something smells delicious out here at Char Bar, it's because they're smoking old fashions over there at the bar.
Is that what they're doing? Is that what that is?
Oh, yeah, they are. I just watched one made. They put it in, like, I've seen old fashions get smoked before. I've had them. They're delicious.
How do you smoke it? What do you do?
Well, so what I've seen before is you take the little chips, you do the little flame gun thing, and there's a little tube. But here's what I didn't know. They put it in a glass case.
Of emotion.
And then they just lock the drink in there, and then the smoke, like, fills the room that the drink is in.
Yeah.
And then you pull it out whenever you want to. I slept. There's something funny about that.
I didn't hear anything, and I'm not going to retract.
Toby, don't meme that, okay? I don't need that sent to Ryan and Darius.
Toby, if you could just meme that, please.
In black and white.
If you have a moment to meme what Grant just said.
You don't have to.
You don't have to at all. But
you pull the glass out of the case at your earliest convenience.
Sure. You got to do it. You got to do it in time.
But anyway, it smells amazing.
Yeah, it does.
Over there.
It is. I was trying to figure out what that was, because there's a beautiful, intoxicating aroma in the air, and that's what that is.
We're at the JW Marriott in Reston, the Char Bar, Simon Restaurant. It is a wonderful spot for food and drink, and the old fashions are flowing here on Friday evening ahead of some high school football. I believe Toby's got a high school football update coming your way in the 5:30 bottom of the hour.
You'd love to see it.
Development that's looming. He's working on it right now, working up a sweat a few feet from me as we speak. Danny, I want to get back to the Commanders, though, and stop in Bijan Robinson. So here is kind of my concern. First off, this guy can't be tackled in isolation. Getting him to the ground, he is Saquon to me. Like, this is as good a player as there is in the entire NFL at this moment. And it's masked, and people don't really know it because the quarterbacks of his offense is playing terribly, and the line is just okay. But if you look at what the Falcons do well and what Bijan does well, it's the thing that Washington has really struggled to defend the last year plus, which is outside running. Robinson has gained 159 of his 239 on the ground outside the tackles this season, which is second most in the NFL. He's been effective post-contact on those runs. He has a league-leading 139 yards after contact. That's 4.2 per carry. Fifth highest mark among running backs with at least 15 carries outside the tackles. Why do I care about that? Because I said this going into the game last year, and it ended up happening in the first half. What does Washington struggle with? When you get Bobby Wagner going laterally, horizontally, when you can't just kind of turn everything back right up to him in the phone booth where he's so good at getting people on the ground. Make him run a little bit sideways. Make him use his speed at 35 years old. Outside zone, stretch runs, pin and pull stuff on tosses to the sideline. That's the Falcons' bread and butter. And if they don't come out and do that to Washington extensively, somebody needs to grill Zach Robinson, because I don't think Washington has the answer to that. And you saw it in the first half against the Falcons last year.
I'm with you. Yeah, as you look at this thing, interior runs, Washington's among the league leaders. They're fifth in the NFL in defensive rush DVOA. Everybody with me on that? So they have handled the running game exceptionally well. Part of that is who they've played. Now, there are teams that love to run the football. They just saw two of them. The Raiders aren't very good at it. Green Bay is, but you got Josh Jacobs, who was there to thump. Please do that. Please run between the tackles. I'll take my chances. Robinson will get a couple because he's so good.
Also, think about how they fixed their problem last year. So you and I begged them, please get better at stopping the run this offseason. Peters didn't need us to say it, right? He knew what they needed to do. They go out and they add size up front. The human smart car that is Eddie Goldman. The human Ford F-950. I don't know. What's the biggest truck?
350, that is 250?
Javon Kinlaw, right? Size, interior, defensive tackle play. The big fella they brought in on the edge, Dietrich Wise, is hurt. He's gone. Preston Smith didn't play last week. I would think he'll make his debut this week. Maybe his length helps them with his long arms being able to set the edge. But they have not really been tested yet in terms of edge setting.
This is where I was going.
And I can't wait to see what that looks like.
I am hopeful, but I'm not optimistic is what I would say. Again, we talk about this all the time. One of my things in sports in general, I'm not talking about this game, I'm talking about in general. When a guy is excellent and he behaves excellently against you, you go, yeah, that guy's great. You know, like when Jacob DeGrom is in his Cy Young winning prime and he goes 8 shutout innings against you, he's going to do that his next start too. He's awesome. But when the jag, when the zilch carves you up, that drives me insane. This is not that time. Bijan Robinson is going to have an excellent season on the ground. He's going to have an excellent season in terms of all-purpose yards. He's going to go over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I hope he doesn't get it all this week, but I hope this isn't one of those get-fat games. But this feels, like you're saying, going against a prime Saquon Barkley in terms of how dangerous he is. You could do a great job for a quarter, two quarters, three quarters, even 3.5 quarters, that one run, right, where he makes three different guys miss, stiff arms somebody into oblivion, a la Derrick Henry, and shuttles on down the sideline for 30, 40, 50, 60 yards. He's that good. He is electric and in his prime. So this to me is about limiting, not canceling, not being able to say
you can't.
You're not doing what you just did to Ashton Jeanty, frankly, where you held him on the majority of his carries to 14 carries for 18 yards. That's not happening this week. The outside stuff, how you contain that, to me it's easy to say, set the edge. Okay. This is, you know, when you'd like your full complement of safeties. I wish they had Will Harris for this game. Not that he's fast enough to stop Robinson one-on-one, but that it's that downhill second layer support, making secondary members come up and tackle, linebackers having a run, to your point. I'm with you on that.
So it's got to be a safety game, to your point. I think Jeremy Reeves' physicality, violence in the box can help. Percy Butler's been banged up. We're not sure if he's going to play or not. This is actually a game without Will Harris where he would be a benefit.
I think it would help this
week. You need Quan Martin, who's willing and physical at the line of scrimmage as well, to help corners on the outside. I know this is another issue, right? They're not 100% healthy, but Trey Amos did practice a bunch and do some good things this week on the practice field, so maybe they feel better about him. But it's about those guys funneling and turning things back in and just being willing to kind of take somebody on. If you're a corner and you'll take on the tight end pulling around or the guard or the tackle who's setting, you know, the agenda and the paving the way, basically, you've got to be willing to take on that player because now the next guy there can make the tackle. If you're just kind of bailing or, my knee's not right, my shoulder, my arm, something's not great.
Business decisions, yeah.
Now all of a sudden the next level of defense is the one getting blocked, and it's a house call for Bijan Robinson. So these are the types of things I worry about. But that's just the running part. And I'm less worried about the running part than the receiving part with him. And it sounds like you're like, oh, come on, you're acting like this guy's the MVP. I legitimately believe right now he's the best player in the NFL. I really believe that. Offensively, I think he is the scariest guy. After how many carries Saquon took last year and the amount of contact on his body, I would, at this moment, take Bijan Robinson over Saquon for the next couple of weeks in terms of, like, straight, you know, my running back, physical football, giving him touches. And the last thing I'm going to say is in the receiving way, I don't think they have anyone that can defend him. I think you got to do it by committee. There's got to be some kind of way to zone and bracket and put people in just space to corral him and kind of hem him in a little bit. But if their plan is a linebacker, you lose. If your plan is a safety, I don't think that works. You might have to have a corner on him.
When he motions out, I would.
Yeah, well, I don't even mean that. I mean out of the backfield, like your nickel
responsibility
might be.
So Mikey Sandmer still is almost, I don't want to say shadowing him, but
yes,
close to that.
Mikey becomes like, oh, you're running a choice route? Okay, I got him. Someone else can cover my guy. Because he's their best player. So act like it. He has caught 14 passes on 18 targets this year, which is a team high. 164 yards, second most among all running backs. Does have a touchdown as a receiver. It was a long one to open the season. It's their only passing touchdown of the year, by the way. But he's second among all running backs in yards after the catch with 170. If you look at his yards after catch over expected, stuff that's not blocked but kind of created by him with his vision, plus 65, also best in the league. Who's better than this guy right now?
He's he'd be Washington's leading receiver. You know what I mean? Like, that's not hyperbolic either. That's the thing.
So I'm going to pick at the end of the show the Commanders to win this game tight, but I really do believe it's close. And if you're saying, oh, you're overrating Robinson, they have not played a player like him this season. In week three against the Raiders, there's nobody like him on that offense that scares you. And I say that after they just gave up three touchdowns to a wide receiver. Brock Bowers is really good. He was not 100%. The week before that with Green Bay, Josh Jacobs, battering ram. You know, their best player in the passing games, Jaden Reed, got hurt early in the game. Week one of the season, all the way back to when the whole thing got started, Malik Nabers is a superstar, but is a more dependent position where he's not as involved. Bijan, if they want him to have the ball in his hands, he will. So that is why I can't talk enough about him this week.
Yeah, so to me, this is kind of what I've been hyping up all week long, in the sense that these guys are enough talent to be capable, right? In terms of the Falcons, who have not performed well offensively yet this year. They have not. There's no way to dispute that. I mean, that's kind of the counterpoint to what we're saying, is against Tampa, they were okay, I suppose. Minnesota, it was downright bad at times. And against Carolina, they were a disaster. They have not put the good tape out consistently. They haven't performed well as an offense. The point I'm trying to make is I'd bet on a breakout for them before I'd bet on a breakout for New Orleans. I'd bet on a breakout for Cleveland or some other offensively inept team because they don't have the horses. I think you can major in Bijan Robinson early, middle, and late, and when it's just enough, when you get sick of it, that's when Drake London can do something special. That's when McLeod, or that's when Mooney, or that's when somebody else could hit you with something. Because you have to pay him just enough attention to slow him down. There's a counterpunch there. And they need to make things easier for Penix. They need to find a way to get him something downfield. And what better way to do that than have everybody's eye line following Bijan Robinson everywhere he goes. The same thing, by the way, that Kingsbury's doing with Deebo Samuel. But turned up to 11. Right? That's what Deebo Samuel's doing here. He's got the football in his hands because he's good with it. But B, Cliff Kingsbury wants you to notice Deebo Samuel. That's why the motion happens. That's why if there's a regular old run play to Chris Rodriguez, Samuel is going in motion, making you think he might get the football. That threat is worth almost as much sometimes to get other guys good looks, and they've got guys they can take advantage. It's a nerve-wracking thing. They're going to break out at some point. I just hope it's not this week.
So I think Deebo, by the way, to your point on him, just bringing him up, I think that he will have a very solid game. I could see him catching six or seven balls just because of the lack of weapons in the passing game that are healthy. But I think this is a heavy run game for Washington. So I think Deebo is going to run the ball three or four times. He'll be involved. I'd like to see them early in the game do what they did last week, have him in the Wildcat, Zach Ertz next to him for some of the direct snap stuff. They only did that once for 9 yards. I could see doing that two or three times even in this game. But last week they called runs on 56% of plays with Daniels out. I think you're going to see something like that again. Now that was, by the way, over 20% higher than their called run average in the first two games of the season with Daniels playing. Tells you that right away, Kingsbury had the philosophy, let's help Marcus Mariota, let's be a lot more balanced. I think they would have run the ball more anyway coming out of the Green Bay game because that was the lifestyle all week. Chris Paul told me that was the plan from Monday on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a complete coincidence that was also with your backup quarterback out there. It was one of the highest rates this season that a team has called run plays at a 56% rate. That's going to be the case again this week with Jacory Crosky-Merritt, Chris Rodriguez, and Jeremy McNichols. And they do it in a way with tempo where it's really, really hard defensively. If they're picking up three, then five, then four, you get gassed fast.
Yeah.
And if you're not subbing, and if the Commanders lead the NFL with a 60% no-huddle rate this season, that is double the next closest team. I'm going to say that again. The number two team in the NFL in no-huddle runs no-huddle 30% of the times. That's the Saints. The Commanders do it 60% of the time. Over half of their plays come without a huddle. That tempo, they do it more than anybody since, this is several years ago in Philly, when college coach
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly was running no huddle. Nobody else has done it like Cliff Kingsbury. So I just think we say, oh, the Falcons' defense is good. If they're fatigued, if they're on the field, if you're running the ball, Mariota becomes that much better. I don't worry about the offense. I worry about stopping Bijan Robinson. And if they can do it, I will take my hat off, and I don't know who it is. If it's Wagner who has an amazing game or Luvu, great. But I think it's probably got to be somebody in the secondary. And because it's a beleaguered, injury-riddled secondary, maybe someone we're not even expecting, like a Tyler Owens or somebody who completely steps up and proves that they're better than people think.
Yeah, Noah I is kind of like a physical hybrid nickel or something, or a dime player. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. You're going to have to tackle well. Jeremy Reeves fits in well in that regard, bringing some of that physicality. But this, to me, is one of those – this is a terrible analogy, but it just popped into my brain. The 7-8 BRYC Ravens flag football team.
This is a good analogy.
This is really good.
Now, tell us more about that.
The other team that we played this past week had one kid that was incredible.
Oh, man.
Grant, incredible. He was the quickest kid on the field, the fastest kid on the field, stop, start, etc. And we learned after a couple touchdown drives that you'll be surprised, he was featured on and scored on both times. You cannot stop him with one person trying to reach for the flag. Everybody has to surround him every time he's got the football. And by the middle of the second half, the kids kind of learn the lesson. This is a similar situation, but at the NFL level. You don't see that usually. You can't do all right, this guy's one-on-one in space with Robinson. You better turn and pursue then, if that's the case. It must be gang tackles. It must be over-pursuing. Not over-pursuing in terms of running too far, but everybody's got to make sure that you're continuing to run to the football. So the way that McNichols sprung for his 60-yard touchdown last week, it's a similar pathology. You cannot stop until that dude is on the ground and you're sure about it.
We got a commander spotlight coming up on Grant and Danny. Some of the players that are going to have to help them with all these injuries if they're going to get a big win. But next, let's check in on the Falcons and on Michael Penix. Why is he struggling so bad? And is there any chance we see Kirk Cousins if things go off the rails early in this game? You're listening to the 106.7, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back live, Grant and Danny from Shar Bar today in Reston. Thank you for making the show part of your day. It means a lot. You're listening to The Fan, and you're listening to Football Conversation, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup, Commanders-Falcons. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. If you want to hang with us this afternoon on our field trip Friday, you got an hour left to do it out here at Charbar, JW Marriott, and Reston. So come on out, have something to eat and drink. Get out of the office and celebrate happy hour with us. A lot of people are, and it's been a very, very fun afternoon. But right now on Grant and Danny, I want to get some more insight on the Falcons from one of the fellows who covers that beat in Atlanta for The Athletic. Josh Kendall is on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Josh, thanks for joining us in D.C. a couple days ahead of kickoff. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well. Raheem Morris, I saw a quote that you had on your X account, said this is Michael Penix's team. It's Mike's job to get out of the funk. It's Mike's job to pull us out of the funk. I can't wait to watch him do it. They should give him some leash here. I mean, he's played six games. He's basically still a rookie, high draft pick. But how do you evaluate his play so far, and how badly does he need to get his act together, or will the noise grow a little louder with a veteran behind him?
I think the noise will definitely grow louder if he doesn't play better than he did Sunday, because he played really poorly. He has had some, despite being 2-4 as a starter, he has had some real highlights in virtually every game that he's played. But he did not against the Panthers. That was really bad all the way around offensively, and he was at the head of it. So, you know, this is a guy who is in his first three games as a starter, as a rookie, was completing 58% of his passes. Through three games in his second season, he's completing 58% of his passes. That's got to change, or they're going to have to consider a quarterback change. But right now, no, they are not doing that.
Are they doing them enough favors in terms of offense? This personnel grouping, I would start a team with, you know, everybody from Drake London to Bijan Robinson and Pitts and Mooney. And that, to me, that's a makings of a pretty good offense with a good offensive line. Are they helping them enough?
This is not the best offensive league.
Sorry, Josh. I think your phone broke up there for a second. Danny was asking, are they doing enough to help him?
Yeah, start again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that they've got plenty of personnel around him. They've got plenty of players. Are they doing enough to lean into the run game to help him? I think that varies week to week. I think they did against the Vikings, and it looked pretty good. You didn't see that as much against the Panthers. They put more on his shoulders, and it didn't look as good. I think that they have got a ton of confidence in Michael Penix Jr. I think that they need to perhaps decide if they have too much confidence in Michael Penix Jr. at this point in his career, and if they shouldn't lean more into the run game and let him be the accent of this offense as opposed to the guy who has to drive the bus.
But there's no reason to assume that. I said we'd ask you about the possibility of seeing Cousins. So it sounds like last week was just that they were getting absolutely eviscerated. You had to play out the string. There's no Kirk Cousins could be starting again soon noise in Atlanta.
None. And the Falcons themselves are doing their best to tamp down that subject completely. So unless there's an injury, or unless Michael Penix just gets into the kind of funk that he got into again, and even then, I think that there's virtually no chance they play Kirk Cousins a second week in a row, because then they have to answer those questions twice as much next week, and they don't want to start that conversation right now.
Josh Kendall, The Athletic, with us here on G&D, scouting the Atlanta Falcons. So, Josh, you know, it's the wide receivers coach has been fired. The offensive coordinator is now moving from the booth to the field, which I'm sure will make a huge difference. But there's got to be some introspection and some self-scouting that happened. What do you expect to be different this Sunday for this offense, the way it's going to look?
That's a great question. I mean, I would think that you would lean more into the run game, but the way that they talk, they feel good about their plan. They feel good about the way that they're approaching things. They just have to clean up the connection between the wide receivers and the quarterback. And nobody knows outside the building exactly what portion falls on which part of that group, Michael Penix or the wide receivers. The Falcons seem to be telling us by firing their wide receivers coach that they feel the bulk of it falls on the wide receivers. So we'll see if that does in fact start to fix things for this offense. In terms of major structural changes, I don't really expect anything this week.
Josh Kendall of The Athletic covers the Falcons. Now, Dan Quinn's previous stop was Atlanta. That has not been much of a storyline this week. I think it's probably because the Falcons came here last year and we talked a lot about the revenge game, so to speak, then. But when things were going well, what was kind of the thought and the perception of DQ in Atlanta? And then based on how things ended with him getting fired, what was the thought on him in the end? Because at this point, deservedly, you know, at 2-1 this year, he's 14-6 through 20 games, I guess it is, as the coach of this team. And, you know, it feels like within the fan base, he walks on water.
Well, I think that the perception of him as he was leading up to that 2016 Super Bowl season was much like it was last year and even this year in Washington. Absolutely loved the energy that he brought to the team. Absolutely loved his approach to everything. Then it went really badly in the Super Bowl. They went back to the playoffs, and then it sort of tailed off. And then it became, well, he's nothing but an energy guy. He's nothing but a cheerleader. That's how this thing works. If you win games, they find reasons to love you. If you lose games, they find reasons to hate you. But Raheem Morris is a very similar – he presents himself very similar to Dan Quinn. They're still very good friends. They're very much alike, I think. So Falcons fans right now are kind of saying, wondering about Raheem Morris, what they said about Dan Quinn toward the end of his tenure. Is he just this, you know, head in the clouds, everything's always positive, upbeat guy while, you know, Rome is burning? Dan Quinn, for the course of his time in Atlanta, did an excellent job. I don't think anybody could disagree with that despite how it ended. And he's still very highly regarded throughout the building here.
Let's go to this defense. I don't have a great feel for how good they are. They were on national television. They were so dominant in that game against Minnesota. They looked incredible. You know, last week, different story, just okay against Tampa. You know, middle of the pack when it comes to the run. The pass rush numbers still look good, I think, buoyed by that Minnesota game. I have a hard time kind of categorizing how good this defense actually is. What's your read on it?
Better than expected. I thought that this offense was going to be carrying this defense. And, you know, that's just not the way it's been. This group has been an average NFL defense, which for me exceeds my expectations. I don't put a lot of the 30-0 last week on the defense. They were put in some terrible situations by their special teams and their offense. And Carolina never had to do anything that would have played into Atlanta's defensive strengths. So I'm willing to give the defense a little bit of a pass. They're not perfect. They are not, you know, this is not the Packers. This is certainly not the Browns or anything like that. But this defense has been good for the most part, and that frankly has been a surprise to me. We'll see how well the rookies hold up. Four rookies have made a real impact. Can they keep doing that? Can they keep putting games back-to-back, which can be a struggle for rookies. But I think the defense is going to pleasant surprise.
How's the column going to read, or what's the narrative going to be within the fan base after this game if Atlanta falls to 1-3 and they lose to Marcus Mariota? Five guys ruled out for Washington. If Atlanta loses this one, what's the discussion going to be like?
Well, it's going to be the temperature is going to be hotter than you would expect it to be in year two, week five of a coaching staff's tenure. I think that the game last week was bad enough that I think the fans of this team are right to have their concerns this week. That was a really bad effort against the Panthers by the Falcons. And so I think it's fair for the fans of this team to be saying, what in the world is going on? If you follow that up with another effort like that, I think that that's going to, you know, the temperature's really going to rise in Atlanta.
How reviled is Marcus Mariota there?
Not at all. Not at all. I just talked to Ryan Neusel, his center, the starting center who was not the starting center when he was here, but was on the team. And, you know, Ryan said, you know, he's everything you wanted in a teammate, great guy to be around. He was one of us. You know, we still think very highly of him. Arnold Ebiketie said the same thing. It ended poorly. I think that Falcons fans are willing to put how it ended on Arthur Smith, who has now been fired, because they're willing to throw a lot of sins onto Arthur Smith's plate. So they don't even hold it against Marcus the way it ended. Marcus, if you spend much time around him, seems to be a really difficult guy to dislike. And I don't think there's anybody in Atlanta who dislikes him much.
What's your prediction for the game?
I mean, I'm picking the Commanders only because I'm not picking the Falcons again until they show that last week was a complete aberration. I mean, it was just it was rough. So I've got to see something from this team. I've got to see how this team responds before I'm willing to say, yeah, they're going to win another game.
Josh, appreciate you, man. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the game.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Great insight on the Falcons ahead of Sunday's game. All of our football conversation on The Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off this weekend. Commanders and Falcons, as we've been talking about. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today with two wide receivers out, Noah Brown and Terry McLaurin. Which wide out for Washington, who wouldn't have a big role ordinarily, has to step up and will step up this weekend? We will get to that next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The Grant and Danny Metropolitan Moving and Storage Poll of the Day is available on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account right now. Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential or commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We're asking you which Commanders wide receiver is going to step up and elevate their game with Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown out. You've got three options, and these are the guys a little deeper down the depth chart who are going to see larger roles and increased targets. Jalen Lane, the rookie with the 90-yard punt return touchdown out of Virginia Tech last week. Luke McCaffrey, who, incidentally, also scored his first career touchdown last week, 43-yard catch and run as a receiver. And Chris Moore, who's been the most targeted leader in receptions and the top guy of the three in terms of involvement as this season has played out over 3 weeks. I'm actually going with Jalen Lane. I just think he's the most talented of the three. I think he's got the most wiggle and elusiveness in the open field. At training camp, Chris Moore was heavily utilized because there was no Terry. And I think he'll run a bunch of routes. He'll be on the outside a bunch. I'll bet you he looks like Noah Brown on some of those in-breaking, like deep over, dig route type things where it's like two catches, you know, 32 yards or something. But if you told me right now somebody has like a four-catch, 65-yard, 70-yard game, has a 36-yard catch and run, Jalen Lane is the explosive player in the group. He's the guy at training camp that got free behind the defense the most often. So I'm going to – my pick that clicked is going to be Jalen Lane of those three.
I don't love any of the options. So I'm going to go Luke McCaffrey just because some of the metrics said that he was open a lot last year, didn't get the football a ton as the offense was humming.
By the way, 55% of people voting on the poll went McCaffrey, the highest vote-getter, 39% Lane, 6% more.
I've seen the most from him, and again, it's a dubious honor where there isn't all that much sample, right, where it's been pretty good. To me, there's an opportunity maybe for a trick play or two. My buddy James turned me on to this. Obviously, it's a former college quarterback, Antoine Randall-El style. Maybe, you know, McCaffrey's involved a couple of times with something short, maybe a double pass, maybe a reverse pass, maybe some kind of action to try to find a weakness there or you know, kind of an over-aggressive Atlanta group trying to make some plays because everything's going to be in front of him. I feel like he's going to operate underneath. I just don't trust Lane beyond gadget stuff right now. I think eventually there's going to be some more to his game besides just being a punt returner or a guy that's good in space. I think he'll turn into a nice player at the receiver spot. I don't see it right now this minute. Hope this is his breakout, and if you're right, it'll be great. It'll be such a boon for them. But I don't see anybody having a huge impact. This feels like a three-catch, you know, 41-yard game for McCaffrey, a couple of catches, you know, 21 yards for Chris Moore, and maybe a catch or two on some bubble things or some, you know, quick at the line of scrimmage stuff for Lane. But to me, this is Deebo Samuel and the running backs.
All right, with the wide receiver conversation as a launching point, let's go Commanders spotlight. Who are we going to put the attention on going into Sunday's matchup with the Atlanta Falcons? I'll start the spotlight with Dorrance Armstrong, who's generated a team-best 18 pressures and 3 sacks. He's got a sack in all 3 games. 72 pass rushes this season in the 18 pressures. Means at a 25% rate, he's getting to the quarterback. Highest pressure rate and highest total pressure quantity in the league through 3 games this season. He has been absolutely outstanding. Career-high pressure rate for him, 10% higher than his previous best, which you got to go back to 2022 in Dallas when he was getting to the quarterback about 15% of the time.
Spotlight Marcus Mariota. The revenge tour for Mariota continues. You know, I know Josh Kendall, who we just had on from The Athletic, said, no, everybody likes him. Not everybody. There's plenty of people down there that are going to boo his very presence. I don't know if it's in the inside the building, outside, whatever. I know radio hosts are saying, you cannot lose to this bum. I can't stand that guy. Fans aren't terribly pleased. And I get it, by the way. The way that ended, I wouldn't be very pleased either. I would probably have a couple of boos. I wouldn't be saying boo earns either. It would be actual boos for Mariota. So the revenge tour continues. If he plays well down there, what a sweet way to let them know what they're missing.
Spotlight Mikey Sanristil. Sanristil was phenomenal last year. I think he has started the season cool. You know, a little, and I mean like a hot
Yeah, I know what
cold.
You mean.
Like,
yeah.
He has been, it's been up and down. There have been some good plays, but I've been disappointed overall. I don't think he's playing at the level he did at the end of last year. Now remember, last year he was playing on the boundary. Now he's inside in the nickel, which is the traditional position where we kind of think he's going to excel. But if you look at it, he's given up 194 yards on 16 targets. That is the second most yards amount allowed by a slot corner in the NFL this season. 13 catches, 2 touchdowns on his ledger. Some of that is difficult because it can be zone, but they basically assign yards and catches as best they can.
Yeah,
who's in
closest,
the area
yeah.
And basically like who's on the guy. So 12 yards per target. The most among slot corners with at least 10 targets. All the numbers right now for him are not good. I think they'll even out as the year goes on. But I said this about Frankie Louvu last week. He had his best game. You know, you want to just start seeing him look like he played last year. And I would say the same about Mikey Sanristil.
Spotlight Ben Sinnott. I just don't know that I'm ever going to get the thing that I want, which is what I was promised, which is George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk in one. But in a game where you don't have your best blocking tight end, get in line and do it again. Line up, be the extra offensive lineman, whether it's he or Trent Scott or both. Let's road grade a little bit. Let's punish some of these Atlanta defenders. Knock them around a couple of times. Maybe I set up some play action. Maybe I get a second catch this year, which would be unbelievable. Maybe we double up in yards from 7 to like 14 or something crazy. But shtick aside, him as a blocker I think is going to be important in this game. Again, without Bates, you're down a little bit in that area. Last week it wasn't a problem. Hoping that trend continues.
Spotlight the backfield. What's it look like? What's the pecking order? How do they go about implementing the 3 running back situation?
Mm-hmm.
Last week it was Chris Rodriguez to start the game. Then it was Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. And eventually they finished things off with Jeremy McNichols hitting the 60-yard home run as the power back in the backfield. Does it look similar? Is it based on like that plan and that order? Or was that a usage thing based on how they were being defended by the Raiders? I would tell you, that this is Ja'Cory Kroski merits week to get more work and get more carries just because he's been so excellent. I can't say that with any confidence, though, because he missed 2 days of practice. He's got a knee that's barking. He was a full participant today. He's listed questionable. He's expected to play. But I don't know that you're going to get like a 14, 15, 16 carry game for him finally, like I was thinking maybe would be the case.
Spotlight. Quan Martin. I think it's going to have to be a really good game for Quan Martin if they're going to win. And he's capable of it, by the way. This is a guy, this is one of the rare times where Ron Rivera really can tune his own horn, right? Got that one right. It took a minute, but they did. Quan Martin is a good football player. He will be tested today, whether it's being disciplined, staying at home, and being active in coverage with, you know, guys at the middle levels, second levels, third levels, everyone from London to Mooney to people in between. But he's going to have to come up in support and tackle really, really, really well and really soundly. Even if you're not making the tackle on Bijan Robinson, hold him up, bother him, slow him down just enough so that everybody else can rally to the football. But I think the safeties in this game, he and Jeremy Reeves, will sink that one in too, are going to have to play a really good football game.
Spotlight on tackling, by the way. How about just tackling as a theme?
Yeah.
We talked about Bijan Robinson, how hard he is to tackle. The Commanders are actually top three in the NFL in missed tackle rate right now, 9% of the time. So they've actually done a really good job tackling and in the open field, getting people on the ground. That's going to have to continue against Bijan Robinson. We're taking you up to 6:30 from Reston. We're at Shard Bar. We're at the JW Marriott, this brand-new, beautiful hotel.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous bar. The food just keeps coming out. I don't know what's happening. Are you guys ordering, or are they just sending food? What's happening?
So the fritters that came out was just because we're us.
But you already ate a gigantic bowl of risotto. Did you also order that sandwich?
Well, that was for lunch. The risotto was for lunch. That was a lunchtime
order. So what is that?
This is a club.
No, but is that dinner?
That's a turkey club.
Okay.
That's a turkey club sandwich.
That's a gigantic sandwich.
It's a big turkey club.
Was there another half of it somewhere?
Yeah, it's gone now.
Okay.
Because I ate that. Where it's
did,
a turkey
like,
club.
It's gone like someone took it?
Danny took it.
Okay.
And he took it to the house.
He ate it all. And then what are you eating over there, Toby? What we got? All I see now is a side of fry. What was on that
There plate? Was something there. It looked pretty good. It looked like a crab Sammy.
Crab sandwich.
It was a crab Sammy.
I mean, the
oh,
hits
buddy.
Just keep on coming.
Oh,
and
buddy.
They just brought out these fried corn fritters.
That's your fritter situation.
Like, what do we think about those?
They're pretty delicious. And the butter has popcorn in it. Explain that.
I'm sorry.
The butter has popcorn in it. It's like a salted butter. How salty is it? It's got popcorn in it. So
the butter that you dip the fritters into.
That's right.
Has popcorn kernels in it?
That is correct.
Wow.
Popcorn Lieutenant kernels right there.
This is a place, man.
Yeah.
What a day.
The Shard Bar.
Grant and Danny with you on the fan. We're here until 6:30. Here's a chef, it looks like. Are you a chef? Here's a chef.
The chef, everybody.
He's either a chef.
The chef is here.
Or he's dressed like a chef.
Or.
Take a bow.
Yeah.
Take a damn bow, this
or
guy.
He goes out as a chef getting applause from random strangers.
It's a good bit if he's not a chef and he just dresses like one and takes a bow and gets ovation.
You just imagine.
That'd
people
be
just happy to see you.
It's not quite Halloween yet, so I'm assuming real chef.
Real chef.
Grant and Danny with you on
Real
the
chef?
Fan,
yeah,
taking
chef.
You up to 6:30.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.